There's a tradition, I'm not sure everybody knows it amongst Christians, at least I heard it might be an older tradition, but if someone was to say he is risen, do you know what the response would be? He is risen indeed. So he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I say what? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And we can rejoice about that, can't we? Because he has risen. It's the only way that we know him as our personal Lord and Savior, because he did. And we know that as a fact, of course, because he's in our heart. And because of that, we can rejoice. The title of the message this morning is Shook Up to Wonder. And I want to say that again, Shook Up to Wonder. And so it makes me reflect back a few years ago in fall of 2004. Kathy and I had seen or been involved in several different earthquakes before, some minor, some more major. Of course, you here in Kalinga, if you were here in 83, you know what that was like. But I remember in 2004, there was an earthquake, and our fish tank was sloshing back and forth. We went outside, and we saw the cars doing this in the driveway, not knowing if they were going to go into the street or into the garage. We saw the tree across the street doing this, waiting to see if it fall in the street. And what I remember the most of all about that was standing on the ground, not having secure footing. It was the weirdest feeling, and your equilibrium gets kind of off. I didn't like that at all, but I will not forget that earthquake at that time. In the Bible, earthquakes have been used several times to represent the power and authority of God. We know that in the Old Testament. We know that in the New Testament, because when Jesus died, the earth quaked too, didn't it? That's right. When Jesus rose, the earth quaked, right? And so when Jesus died on the cross, we've got a picture over here of the rock split and all that stuff, because the quake happened, the rock split, and other things happened too that day. And it's a testament of a cosmic event that affected the whole world and affects us even still today. So a question I have for you this morning is, has Jesus shook your world up? Because when we receive Christ as our Savior, we live one way. Before we receive Christ as our Savior, we lived one way. When we receive Christ as our Savior, if we follow him, we learn to live a different way. And it does take our world and shake it up. And so has Jesus shook your world up? Has your heart been rocked by Jesus? Are you moved in your heart because of the Lord? Not just at the point of receiving him as your Savior, but in your daily walk or in your lives, does your heart continue to be moved? There are times with my wife, more than not, that my heart is moved by her. Okay, and the same with my children. And so when God is speaking to us and our heart is moved, is our heart still moved or rocked by Jesus? Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ affected your life? Has it changed your priorities? Has it changed your focus? Has it changed you? Has it made you a disciple of Christ to the fact that people see Jesus in you? When Jesus rose from the dead, the earth felt its effects. The angel felt the effects. The guards felt the effects. The women felt the effects of the earthquake at his resurrection. And that was a mighty thing. And I would venture to say that not one of them, including the angel, went back the same that day. You know, the guards, whether they believed in Jesus or not, their life, they would never forget that. I mean, they just wouldn't forget what happened. The angel wouldn't forget that he was sent to roll a stone away, right? The guards, again. The women, again. It affected people. In Matthew 28, 1 through 8, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not there, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. What a tremendous event that day. But can you imagine the mixed emotions of the women at the tomb running back to tell the disciples that Jesus had resurrected from the grave? They ran with fear and great joy. That's a mixed emotion, isn't it? I can imagine that in their own way, and ours likely the same, that they were trying to wrap their heads around the situation, trying to make some sense of what had happened. Or maybe the light bulb was being screwed in and the light started to go off, and they said, oh, that's what Jesus told us, that he would die and that he would raise on the third day. And so the question again here is this: does the resurrection move and affect you? It should. Because without it, we wouldn't know him. Without it, we wouldn't know the wonder of Jesus. Is Easter Sunday just another Easter to you? You know, we go through each year, and forgive me for saying this if you're in this category, when we're older, each year goes by faster. I mean, when you're in elementary school, Christmas came around like that. Well, no, like this. Excuse me, I got it backwards. When you're an adult, it went like that, right? But you had Christmas, you had New Year's, you had Valentine's Day, and then you had Easter, and you kind of do that chronological order of events for the year, and it seems like Easter comes right back, and we're going through an Easter service again, or an Easter event again, or being with family at our Easter dinner again. And the problem is that we have to ask ourselves, has Easter become just another Easter in another year again? And we have to guard against that. Because the greatest thing, even greater than the birth of Christ, is the resurrection of Jesus. Because without the resurrection, the birth would mean nothing. Without the resurrection, the death of Jesus on the cross would mean nothing. Without the resurrection, we would have no hope, no security, no confidence in eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, we would not even have a personal relationship with him. The resurrection of Christ is an earthquake that shook the whole world. It was the talk of the town in Jesus' day, and it's the talk of the world today, and has never, ever changed. In the 1950s, there was a great earthquake in China. The side of a mountain came tumbling down. A huge boulder rolled away, and behind the boulder was a cache of ancient wonders, ancient treasure that went back thousands of years. It opened up a whole new world to China about a culture that was 1,000 years or more in age than they were. And it was exhilarating for them. When the stone was rolled away from Jesus' tomb and the earth shook, we got our first glimpse of a new world. It's a world where death doesn't have the last word. It's a world where injustice is made right. And so we can praise God for that, because of Christ rising from the dead, because the stone was rolled away from the tomb, because we know that Jesus wasn't in the tomb, there's a whole new world, a whole new perspective, a whole new life that we can find in our relationship with Jesus Christ. This side of heaven and in heaven. This side of death and after death. We are passed from life to life, not from life to death, but from life to life. And we can praise God because that is the relationship that we have with Jesus that will never end. During the earthquake, the soldiers witnessed the stone rolled away. Now let me explain something about this stone. Mathematicians have said, well, the door, some of you have been to Israel, and the supposed tomb of Jesus, the door was probably 4 or 5 feet high, I'm not sure. But mathematicians have calculated that in order to have a stone large enough to cover that tomb, it had to weigh around 2,000 to 4,000 pounds, which is 1 or 2 tons. And they dug a trench in front. It could kind of set the stone in, and it would roll the stone, but the trench would go along level, and then it would drop into a swell. And so they pushed the stone, and it plopped into that swell, and it locked in front of that door. And then it was sealed by the seal of Pilate, that no one should open that at all. The women did not have to worry anymore about who was going to roll the stone away. Because that Sunday morning, they were going to the tomb to finish the burial process and add spices to the body of Jesus. And they were expecting soldiers to go and to move the stone, not knowing that it would take probably 20 soldiers or more to move that stone, as it also has been predicted. But Jesus was gone. And the tomb was empty. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. In Luke 24, 9 through 12, it says, "Then they turned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb," and we know in another passage of Scripture that the other one, John, in third person, ran behind Peter as well. "Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down," small entranceway, "he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Why did Peter, when he looked in the tomb and saw the linen cloths, the burial cloths of Jesus, make him marvel? Well, if someone came in and stole the body of Jesus, then they would have to cut this apart to get his body out from him, if they were to take his body out of it. But if they didn't take his body out of it, and Christ somehow whittled his way out, it wouldn't stay the shape that it was in when he was buried in it. And so when Peter came in and he looked in the tomb, he saw grave clothes as a shell of the body of Jesus, and the head wrapping folded neatly at the top of this shell, this cocoon, if you will, that Jesus had been wrapped in. And the first thing that it told him was the evidence that Jesus was gone, and Jesus wasn't stolen, and Jesus did say what he said he was going to do, and this was proof, because there's no way the body could leave this without messing this up. And so, it was evidence. It was hard, fast evidence to Peter. And so, the soldiers and the women left the tomb again that same day, never the same. Never the same. Their lives were changed and moved forever. The eventful resurrection of Christ can have that effect on people. The resurrection of Christ can impact people's lives. Let me give you an example. Through the years, witnessing to different people, sharing the gospel. Have you ever witnessed to someone with the gospel of Christ and they look at you with this blank stare, nothing stirring inside, nothing clicking in their eyes, just kind of not interested mode? Yeah. But then on the other hand, have you ever witnessed to somebody and shared the gospel of Christ with them and their eyes spark? Their ears perk up even though you can't see them bend forward? You can sense the stirring of their heart and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they're ready to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You see, there are those that are affected by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there are those that are not. There may be those in this room, although as I look around the room, I don't think I know of anybody that does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe, but I'm not sure. But if you don't, then Christ is at the door of your heart saying, "I want to come in." And only you know if your heart is being moved by the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and Jesus saying, "I am alive. I am alive. I am alive. I do love you. I do want to come in your heart. I do want to forgive you for all your sin. I do want to give you eternal life. Knock, knock, knock. Let me in." And only you know if your heart is moving in the direction that will yield your life to Christ as your Savior. So how does the resurrection of Christ affect you? It should always affect us. When we get into a mode where it's just another Easter, another year, and I'm not saying that's what it is for anybody in this room, I'm just saying that we need to guard against the normalcy of our annual practices on different holidays. Does God need to move the stone from your heart for you to know him? If you're lost, there's a stone there. And God wants to move that stone so you can know him. Is there a stone in your heart that stands in the way for you to have a fresh relationship with Jesus? As Christians, we have to like the good ground. We have to be careful there's no stones in the way, no weeds in the way, nothing in the way, to have a real pliable, rich, soiled heart that Jesus can work in. But sometimes we can allow the stone to get in the way of us having what? A fresh relationship with Jesus, not a stale relationship. The resurrection of Christ is a wonder in itself. Is it not? It's a wonder in itself. We weren't there over 2,000 years, but praise God, we know Jesus. Amen?
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 Amen.
I mean, really, we know Jesus, don't we? And so we don't have to be there 2,000 years ago to say, okay, well, we see the grave clothes empty. We have a better testimony. We have the testimony of saying, I know Jesus. You know Jesus. We know Jesus as our Savior. So are you still moved? Are you still moved by the wonder of Jesus' resurrection? It's, you know, the magnificence of it. The beyond comprehension of it, the reality of it that's touched our lives personally. G.K. Chesterton, who lived between 1874 and 1936, was a theologian, writer, and Christian apologist. And he's quoted as saying, "The world will never starve for want of wonders, but only for want of wonder." We can see the wonders of the world, but it's when we recognize the wonder that changes our lives that's important. And people are looking for that wonder to change their lives. They're looking for that something that, as you and I have heard so many times in the vernacular in our culture, to fill the hole that's in our spiritual heart. To be born spiritually, to become alive in Christ Jesus. We in Him, and Him in us. You know, I really do believe that children at a young age are very, very attuned to the spiritual reality. That's just my personal opinion. But I want to just share with you a story that was in the book Chicken Soup for the Soul by Dan Millman. He tells of the story of a young 4-year-old girl named Sashi. And she was fortunate to have a new baby brother. She asked her mom and dad, can she go into his room where he's in his crib and just spend some time, just her and him alone? Well, parents were a little bit concerned about that because they're thinking, well, a 4-year-old, it's not uncommon for them to get jealous. She may go in there and hit the boy. So they said, no, not right now. Well, they saw she wasn't jealous. And she asked again. And they said, okay. So she walked very softly into her brother's room, got her face close to his face in the crib, and she said, "Baby, tell me what God feels like. I'm starting to forget." But see, I really think that as people, when we're born, we have that awareness of God's presence. Again, that's my, we don't remember that when we're born, but that's my thinking, in that as the Holy Spirit works to draw us to Him, we're either sensitive to Him or we're not. We're either moved by Him or we're not. We're either quaked by His presence or we're not. But as believers, we should never, ever, ever, ever find our place in a position where we say to ourselves, "I used to know Jesus in a very close way." But we should be saying the opposite. Every year we should look at our lives and assess our spiritual walk with Jesus and say, "I am closer to Jesus now than I ever have been. I have grown this year in ways I've never thought possible. I've grown in knowledge of Jesus, in the depth of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, in a way that has enriched my life for His glory." That's what we should be looking at. Never, never get to a place where it feels like we're forgetting what God feels like. So is childlike wonder disappearing? Have we forgotten the wonder of Jesus rising from the dead? Have we grown ashamed of the distinction of a God who can conquer death? Wow. Are we so caught up in reality that we have no place for mystery in our lives? Have we become so religious that we have lost the wonder? Have we forgotten what it feels like to have God remove darkness and coldness in our heart? Are we too starting to forget what God feels like? Wonder begins in the presence of Jesus. Amen? Wonder begins in the presence of Jesus. When we become more aware of God's presence, we become more filled with wonder. Have you been there? I'm sure you have. Where you're in prayer with God, and you recognize and you sense very distinctively the presence of God around you and through you and in you, all encompassing. And you're before the throne of God, and God is there, and you're with Him. It's just you and Him alone. And you're filled with the wonder and the awe of Jesus. And His humility, and His love, and His tenderness loving on you. Because that's what He does when we're in His presence. He loves on us. He directs us. He helps us. He encourages us. He empowers us to be all that He would have us to be. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary felt the presence of God. When they saw Jesus, remember, in the garden? When they saw Jesus, their response was to fall at His feet and worship. That's what happens when we meet up with God, when we encounter Him, when we have the freshness of God right in front of us. It causes us to bow before Him with true love, with true surrender, with true openness before God, and to tell Him we love Him. Matthew 28:17 says, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Isn't it amazing? Even when Jesus ascended to the Father, some doubted. It's just amazing how hard and how closed the hearts and eyes of people can be sometimes. When you encounter the living Christ, our only response is to celebrate His presence. That's what Easter's about. We recognize the resurrection of Jesus and the personal life we have with Him, and we honor Him and we celebrate Him and His presence. That's Easter. It is the presence of Jesus that moves us and touches us deeply, does it not? Easter makes us want to fall at the feet of Jesus. If you really look at it, if you really analyze it, if you really assess the impact of Jesus on our personal lives, it's something that we don't explain. Can you explain it clearly to the lost or even to one another possibly? It's something that we can't clearly explain, and we never forget the presence of God in our hearts and in our lives. We experience it. We feel it. We know it. And we know Him. Isn't that wonderful? We know Him. So today, celebrate His presence today and every day. Celebrate His presence in your life. Celebrate the person of Jesus. Celebrate as that living sacrifice. Celebrate as that surrendered child of God. Celebrate as we live in the joy and the wonder of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank You for each one here. I thank You, Father, for this Sunday that we set aside to honor You and worship You, for that very beautiful and wonderful and incredible and significant day, the day of Your resurrection. Lord Jesus, nobody stood outside Your tomb and called for You to come out like You did for Lazarus. Nobody stood around You and said, sit up, like You did for Tabitha. Nobody came when they carried You to the tomb and said, wake up, like You did with the boy and his widowed mother at the funeral. But You, of Your own free will, laid down Your life for us. And You, of Your own free will, of Your own power, rose from the dead. And it's to Your glory and to Your praise, and may our lives reflect that more and more. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page. by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.